Thank you for tuning in to Femina Lowdown. Be sure to follow our Instagram and Twitter at Femina_Lowdown to keep in the loop, ask questions, and get the lowdown.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Jeanette.
I'm Sydney.
And I'm Raquel, and welcome to Femina Lowdown. It's our first episode of 2024. January's almost over, but yeah, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy January.
How has your first month of 2024 been?
It's 2024-ing. I feel like I've been doing a lot. I feel like I have been sticking to my, like, I really want to try new things. I really want to try to push myself this year. So I told you I signed up for the Colfax Half Marathon.
How's that going?
Well, actually, the first time that I was like, okay, I need to start training for this, I ran 6 miles.
Oh, nice.
But
wow.
But then I also joined a volleyball league, and I hurt my knee a little bit. So I was only able to run 2 miles yesterday. So
the knee that's already messed up?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Dang. But it's fine. We're going to push through. Maybe.
Go to the chiropractor.
How's that chiropractor treating you?
Good. It's going good.
But how's 2024 January been going for both of y'all?
I am. Pluto's moving out of my Capricorn energy, and it's supposed to be a transformation year, and I'm feeling it. I feel a transformation.
That's great, because according to the TikTok you sent me, Pluto's moving into my hell house or something for like the next 20 years. Something about life lessons and karmic energy and things that do not sound fun.
Yes. So the cardinal signs were going through it in this past 20, I think, wasn't it 30
it
years?
It was like 20 years. Yeah.
And so I feel it. I've gone through a lot.
Yeah, you have.
So I'm ready.
I don't know what I'm a ready cardinal for this new sign transition. Is.
I showed I know, you but, what they were.
But I'm one of them. I didn't know.
Which means little... this is going to be a good time for you.
I need a good time. I need a great time. Maybe I'll win the lotto. I'm just kidding. I don't even play the lotto.
Oh, so it was Capricorns, Aries, Cancers, and Libras.
I'm a Libra.
On the 20th of January, Pluto finally leaves alignment, meaning our 15-year-long karmic cycle is finally over, leaving behind all of the shit from 2008 to 2023. Yep, that's how I feel.
Yeah, I would love to be happy.
Summed up.
Happy for you guys. That's bad news for me.
I know. I was like, oh, shoot.
But oh, yes. Go me.
It's a planet of deep transformation. That's why. And it's moving into Aquarius from 2024 to 2044. bringing karma and tough life lessons for... Oh, so I'm not a fixed sign. Raquel is.
I am.
Yeah. And tough life lessons for fixed signs, which is Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius.
That's wonderful. Can't wait.
Can't wait.
Watch every time like something happens to you, you're gonna be like, God damn that Pluto.
Yeah, for real. But I think Pluto is like Scorpio's planet. You know how every sign has a planet? I think that Pluto is Scorpio's planet, but whatever. Yeah, it's
how funny.
Anyway. But anyway, Jeanette, has 2024 so far been exciting?
Yeah. I mean, got to spend it in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Which was totally amazing. Just, it was just so nice to be there. Just the people, the food, the music.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so, like, a breath of fresh air. Needed it.
Mm-hmm.
Totally needed it. Yep.
Nice.
I miss it.
Me too.
Definitely missed out on that trip for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I was feeling your vibe. I was enjoying the pictures and the videos of you.
Same. Same.
I know. Shout out to Yuvia. She was literally my paparazzi. She was always trying to get the best photos because I'm not even a big, like, photo person in the sense of, like, I don't like to take a lot of, like, me in the place. Like, I'll do selfies and stuff, but she was more like, no, sit there, like, do this, like, uh-huh. do this. And so but it was good though. I was feeling the vibe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so she was amazing.
How fun.
Yes.
Well, I wish I could have been there. But I was spending my 2024 New Year's in LA, which was fun too. It was our first little family vacation. Went to Disneyland, my favorite, and all, like, the LA things. So first vacation of the year was a success, and the rest of the year's just been work, you know, same old same. It's a little chilly out here.
Yeah, I saw you freezing your ass off outside that day.
Yeah,
I can't believe they made you still go out.
I would rather have gone out that day. Like, I picked to go out that day versus later on because it was going to get colder. But that's not too bad. My ski mask helped.
Wow. You were skiing in that ski mask. Yeah. You were very much in that ski mask.
Yeah. So my New Year's been cold, but so far good. I'm excited for the year to come.
Yeah, same.
I did see this TikTok today where this guy walked outside and he was like, when is 2024 going to hit? When is it going to happen? He said, when's that first grape going to hit?
Yeah. I think I saw that. And he's like, I'm not feeling it.
And then he goes, oh, wait, look, a ladybug.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
Oh, that was so funny. That cracked me up.
Yeah, that was funny.
So, well, hopefully it hits for us. I'll let you know when I see my first ladybug. When Pluto starts doing it for me. Not for you, Raquel. I'm sorry.
I know. Fuck.
Fuck. Yeah, you'll have to let me know when you feel the energy to start to shift.
I don't know. I will. I am trying to do better at, like, keeping a date, not like an in-depth journal, but like keeping, like, kind of like bullet notes of things that happen throughout the day. So far, like, 2 weeks of, well, I'm on like my third week of being consistent with it. So I'm like tracking what kind of mood I'm in and stuff. So I'll know when I feel it.
You know, I should journal more this year. Maybe that should be my only goal this year, because I just realized my memory is just so bad that I need to write some of this stuff down in order to just remember and go back. I love reading notes and journal entries from my past self. I'm like really funny.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm super funny.
I'm going to have to show you the planner I got, because it's like a planner, but it has like the days, and it has just like little things you could circle, like, and then you could write it. And that's the only way I would do it, because I don't take the time to sit down and write pages every day.
No, I get serious.
I know you do. I think you've read me your journal entries before.
I don't know why that I've never been a diary journal girl.
Mine's like, right here. And I actually did look at some journaling.
No. Let me get mine out. Let me see.
I feel awkward talking to myself.
See, but that's where I think I'm crazy, because I almost feel like I'm in a movie when I'm writing it. So I feel like I'm writing it for
a script,
an audience.
Yeah, same. I last wrote on Thursday, January 18th. So like a week ago, I had some feelings.
I usually have been doing it like when I'm going through like a breakup or something crazy, because I really do feel like you need to feel those raw emotions and then go back and remind yourself how you felt. Mm-hmm. And then you could appreciate the growth and just like, wow, I really was fucking pissed, or wow, I really did grow,
or damn, you were being really delusional. And I
yes, correct.
I feel that way sometimes. Yeah,
look, I get it in different colors.
Yeah, mine looks like that too.
The last time I wrote, God, it's probably been a long time. What would you know? It is May 29th, 2020. And the caption, my title of it is TGIF ... Really? Thank God.
Oh, I don't title mine.
Oh my God. This is actually like hilarious.
Yeah, look, and the person is, today I got the news I did not have COVID-19. I am happy. I feel free, but at the same time, I was going to be happy that I got it and got over it. I can't even, because this is partly a breakup too. So I'm starting to talk about how I called. But when I go back, it was the breakup, because I label it day 5 of breakup, day 9 of breakup.
That's so good though. I realize I write when I'm like angry or sad and stuff, and I was like, I really need to write when I'm in a happy mood sometime at some point, so that I can like go back to a happy entry.
Oh wow, yeah, I documented all of COVID when I had it.
Wow.
Like, by the days. And today, profusely sweating to get ready for work. Could have been a fever. Thursday, right before bed, drink large cold soda from Wendy's. Because I did believe it was that Wendy's soda that had sent my body over, because the next day I woke up sick as a dog.
You did tell me that. And so you really did.
So I,
wait, what did she tell
you? I always blame that soda.
Why?
Because they had said like drink warm things, because you could kill the virus, like it incubates in the back of your throat. Mm-hmm. First. And so the night before I actually woke up sick, I drank that really cold soda, and I feel like that helped push it through my body, that cold soda. And yeah, see, throat started to tickle. And then it goes on and on from there. How funny. Good time.
Wait, so Sid, you said you don't journal because you feel weird?
Yeah, I feel weird talking to myself. Like, I feel like that little fish off of Finding Nemo, where she goes, "Hi, how are you? This is my sister, Flo."
Hi, Flo.
Move, Flo. I can't see. Like, that's literally how I feel. Like, I just feel a little crazy talking to myself, and I'm like, "What am I saying right now?" So I just don't do it. I don't get into it.
Maybe, but you just have to get.
You need to.
Yeah, you just need to get past the discomfort. I mean, it was like when we started this podcast, it was uncomfortable to listen to myself. And then
look at
now
this now.
Now it's like, whatever.
You guys, I wrote my breakup letter in here.
Oh, the breakup letter?
It's called, yes, dear.
Well, I guess when you all have your Britney moments, you'll need your journals.
Well, I mean, basically, Brittany used this memoir as her journal.
She did. Sure. She did.
But yeah, this was her journal entry to herself, to be honest.
Yeah.
We finally are at the part, like, if you've been following along, listeners, on our journey of reading this Britney Spears memoir, we finally have come around to I feel like the most popular unhinged moments of Britney's entire career. The ones we remember, the ones that are plastered on, you know, news coverage, magazines. We finally get to where she marries Kevin, which was always something everyone questioned, like, who the hell is he and why? Mm-hmm. She kind of talks about that, you know, being a bad boy and then having kids and what a blessing that was for her. And then how the tumultuous relationship ended, you know, as Kevin's trying to start his career in the media, you know, in the industry as a rapper. Mm-hmm. And how he wants to break up with Britney, which is so crazy. Like, again, you know, somebody's wanting to leave her and in such a cruel way. And then he takes his kids from her. And that's kind of what sets the pace for her everything to come.
Her demise.
Yeah. I feel like this has already been set up for her demise, but this is like
the breaking point.
Yes, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And what do you guys remember about that? I guess when she was retelling the stories, I do remember the pictures mm-hmm. the most, mm-hmm. you know, of her almost dropping the baby.
Oh, you know,
when she's trying to get off the sidewalk.
Driving with the baby in her lap.
Correct, driving with the baby in her lap. The umbrella moment where she's, like, trying to hit the paparazzi with her umbrella, obviously the shaving of the head.
Yeah.
But I don't remember everything that she's saying, you know, like she got locked up in a loony bin. I guess I don't remember that.
Well, maybe they kept it on the down low, but so the first things were like the baby stuff and even her shaving her head. What year was that? Because I think I was too young. Like, I don't think.
It was in the 2000s, no?
Oh, 2007 is when Britney shaved her head.
Oh, I was 17.
I was in 7th grade, y'all. So
really? In 2007? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in 2007, I was in 7th grade. So, Britney wasn't my, like, person anymore. I was already listening to Ciara. I was already listening to Beyonce. Mm-hmm. And all those, like, I wasn't, like, Britney wasn't in my atmosphere anymore. So I don't really remember, like, that being, like, big news of, like, oh my God, Britney shaved her head. But how was it for you all?
I remember it being big news, but the news that I just remember hearing was that Britney was losing it and that she was a bad mom. Like, basically everything she said that the media said is what I consumed because, I mean, that's what we read in the magazines and stuff. So I also was like, dang, what happened? Like, you didn't really know her side, like, why she flipped out or why she didn't even that. You just saw this, like, childhood star shaving her head and dropping her kids and, you know, kind of just a big train wreck. And just kind of believed what everybody was saying. Like, yeah, she's
something. That's true. Yeah. I think, yeah, I just believed what was going on. I didn't really. I mean, now hearing her side, it is pretty crazy that she didn't have more empathy, you know, yeah. Like being a new mom in general, but then doing that in the public mm-hmm. and then with the tumultuous relationship. And so she was even saying that, like, my marriage was crumbling while I'm taking care of the kids, and she believes she had the, I am going to missay it, but it's like prenatal depression mm-hmm. or something.
Postpartum.
And.
Oh, pre.
She called it something else. Oh. Yeah, she called it something else. Not postpartum. She didn't say postpartum. But that's a lot. And then you're famous and mm-hmm. you're still reeling from your breakup with Justin, never really
healed from that.
Getting over that. Yeah. Your family is there, but then they're not. Like, you don't have a great support system that I'm like, yeah, what would I have done?
Whoa.
You know, like, what would I have done if my family, mm-hmm. I was working like a dog and supporting everybody and then going through that. And so I wasn't surprised that she finally snapped when Kevin denied her of seeing the kids.
And they were little.
And that, and it almost made, yeah, they were like months. Yeah. Like one of them was like 13 months or something. Like they were like an age where you're still counting them in months, yeah. You know? And so that is crazy to think, like, you know, like if you are a mama bear, how hard that is to be split from them. And so I totally understood that moment when she finally like was like, fuck it, and went to go shave her head, mm-hmm. you know, like because she felt like she was losing control of everything else around her. Mm-hmm. And the paparazzi was crazy. I do remember that because they started trying, like people started trying to put laws on the paparazzi. And I know like over in Europe, they do have different laws. I don't know exactly what they are, but I do remember during that time, people, the celebrities were really trying to fight back about how invasive paparazzi was, chasing them and putting them in dangerous situations. Mm-hmm. So I do remember that. And then she does tell that part pretty well, or like it was just a survival mechanism to not stay in one place too long because they just swarmed her. And they did. They get really close to her. Mm-hmm. Well, that she felt unsafe.
Well, they also say fucked up shit too. Like they're trying to get a reaction from you. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I can't imagine like the things that you hear on a daily basis from people who are literally feet away from your face. Mm-hmm. And like, I can't even not react. Like imagine that all the time and like being expected not to react. But I definitely remember her hitting like that guy with the umbrella and that like being a whole thing of like her getting in trouble for it or it being like a big old deal. But like what was his, like how did he get held accountable, mm-hmm. you know, for mm-hmm. essentially aggravating her and like making her feel uncomfortable or unsafe, but they didn't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm. And then I feel like a way that she tried to cope with it all was like when she would say she'd occasionally go out, you know, and but then it just was a double negative because then they portrayed her as a party girl. Mm-hmm. And I think she put in there like partying equals a terrible mom, but they weren't even letting her see the kids. So
but then Kevin was like smoking weed.
Yeah.
And like, nobody. Which, yeah, and it wasn't like, it's not like how weed isn't like what it is now, you know, like it was still illegal. It was still like an explicit drug. And that wasn't even, nobody batted an eye at that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So for sure, I definitely feel for her now. And I, when I read those parts about like her banging on the gate to like, be let in to see her kids and nobody mm-hmm. like came to the gate and she was like F it, like everyone has always commented on my hair and told me how sexy I am with my hair, which hair is very much like part of a woman's
weight, femininity,
yeah, so she, yeah, so she like took it been... away.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then so then it, she goes on to say that like all that behavior is what put her in rehab.
Mm-hmm. But which is crazy because she says she didn't do drugs or
what. I think that was confusing too because she brought up multiple times about being accused, like that she'd get in trouble because again her dad found the
energy supplements.
What did she call it? The energy supplements.
Yeah.
That I'm like, I don't know what that means or
yeah, she did talk about
why that was so bad, but yeah, she brought it up multiple times.
Mm-hmm. And Adderall.
Yes, she did admit she was addicted to Adderall.
But yeah, like that was even insane to like, I don't know, like I just got done reading a book about like this woman who is in like a psychiatrist facility. I don't, what are they called?
Mental institution?
Yeah, like a mental institution.
That's the right word.
And like sometimes people go and do those things willingly because they're promised things. You know, like I'll like if you go for a little bit and you do this 60-day program, promise you'll get to like start your job or blah, 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 blah. And so I imagine like there were some promises of, and I think she said that like they kept promising her that she'll see her kids if she went.
Well, the first time, yeah, they said that she could get 50-50 custody if she went the first time. And so she thought like that was a good payoff to do so she could get custody back. And then along the way, like, even to the point, one of them was like, if she did it, she could go on vacation with the boys.
Oh, yeah, to Maui.
Yes, to Maui, if she did it.
Or I think, like, I think that one was if she did another show. Yeah, she did another tour.
Oh, that's
right. But so much of it seemed like bribes. And then despite all these, like, things, I think I wrote that she was still having to perform, like, at the VMAs. And I wrote that that's that one VMA is where she saw Justin Timberlake. And then she wrote, "You don't usually have the worst day of your life in the same exact place that your ex has his best day of his life."
Did and you then, all look up that performance?
No, but I saw a TikTok a while back about that when Sarah Silverman did roast her.
Yeah, and she talked, I do remember
and
that.
She talked
she
about
was so
it.
Mean.
Yeah, and she talks Why, about how hurt she was backstage. I forgot what she wrote in the book, but she said that I think she basically, I think insulted how she was as a mom, or I don't remember exactly what she said.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it.
It was chapter 27.
Oh, perfect. I can go back. 27. VMA performance. Justin on a high. Sarah Silverman. She said at 25, everything worthwhile in her life. Oh, she was talking about her kids and said, like, Brittany at 25 has everything that she ever will in her lifetime and the two most adorable mistakes she will ever see.
Jesus.
She's talking about her kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's messed up. Like, if you had to hear all that stuff and...
And I was thinking, like, it's times like that you're like, I do like cancel culture, because Sarah Silverman wouldn't have been able to say that like today. You know what I mean? Like, going after the kids is too far. And especially somebody who is dealing with mental health. Like, it's not funny. It's not as funny. Mm-hmm. I mean, you still get some stuff, you know, people make jokes at Kanye West and we forget he's bipolar and whatnot. But Brittany was in a different situation, you know, like she wasn't actively out there trying to get the attention, but yeah, pretty sad.
Mm-hmm.
But I did look up that, like, that performance that she's talking about, and it is really bad. But I can see why it's bad. Like, she didn't want to be there. She didn't feel good about herself. She was wearing hardly anything, and she even named, like, her body was different, and she just had two kids, and she was coming back, and it's not, like, you could just tell, like, she's just trying to get it over with, but, yeah, it's...
It is so weird that she became, like, a shadow of herself, because it's so true, from when she was at her high, like, Brittany that we remember, and then she just became, like, this hollow person that just was, like, puppet. Like, being a puppet.
Mm-hmm.
And you could totally see it. And even now, like, I feel like it broke her. I mean, she's trying to find herself even through this book, but she's definitely different. A different person.
Mm-hmm. But
and who would you be? Yeah. For 13 years, you're, like, basically caged animal. That's so crazy. And I think it's really cool how she said she connected with the... with her fans, like, they somehow knew something was wrong and she was in danger, and that actually is what helped her
free from the
to start fighting for her freedom in a more vocal way. Where she called 911 and reported her dad for conservator abuse. You know, and so, because it was actually the nurse, when she went and had to go do rehab again because she didn't want to do a dance move or something, and then they came and tested her cognitive abilities and decided she needed to go to rehab, and they didn't even come visit her. So she was making friends with the nurse, and the nurse actually showed her clips of Free Britney or whatever. I'm like, wow, well, that was her alien gods watching out for her. You know, that the nurse showed her, and it started a fire in her to really try and get out of it. just crazy, just so crazy. And then her finding out she could have gotten her own lawyer all along.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been shattering. Like, oh my God, you were in prison for 13 years and you could have been out if you were just more educated about it. So
this was a sad book.
It was, but I think it was about hope. I think it really just puts in perspective, like, don't settle. Don't let people speak for you. Mm-hmm. Don't go down without a fight, you know? Don't, because, I mean, she says it a lot. Like, I just went with it because it was easier that way, you know? I thought if I would play by the rules, I could get through it, or they'd give me back my kids or whatever. It really was just, like, a really testament to the future is female. And we need to wake up in whatever space we're in.
Mm-hmm. 100% agree.
Because who knows where Brittany would be if all of this shit wouldn't have happened and we locked her up. You know what I mean? Like, who knows?
It's just hard to
believe. What she could have accomplished.
Yeah, it's just hard to believe that it was, like, her family who was behind all of that.
It was money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they literally were just about money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really, her, I think it was good to see the timeline of all these things. I mean, she was pretty chronological. And just, like, you know, when I was locked up at this time, that's when I found out Jamie Lynn was pregnant. And, you know, that's when I found out my mom was making a memoir, mm-hmm. you know, during the worst times of my life. Like, just things like that that I'm like, yeah, your family was really shitty.
Mm-hmm.
Her dad giving himself a raise that while she was locked up, he started giving himself $16,000 more a month.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, holy shit. And for what? Like, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. it's crazy that they got away with this.
Mm-hmm. And then I saw how she watched documentaries about herself with, like, interviews from her friends and felt blindsided by it. Because while they may have had good intentions, like, she had no idea that, like, this stuff was going on. It's just so weird to think about watching your life from.
Yeah, for sure.
From, like, a different perspective, as if you're not the one living it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know how she did it. And I think she, like she doesn't come out and say that she was suicidal, but she does mention that there's times where she wanted to end it. And somebody had even said, like, I don't know how you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing it from her perspective, like, yeah, that's 13 years of not having your own freedom. And everything was monitored. Her text messages, her viewing habits.
Her hair appointments.
Yes.
She was given an allowance of her own money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boyfriends had to be tested. And I'm just like, it was so weird. Like, why did her partners have to know her sex history? Like, why is that? Like, without her consent, you know, that was just something off the table, almost like a transaction.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here is all Brittany's sexual interaction. Like, it was just so weird. Like, yeah, they treated her like an animal. Or like a robber. She kept saying, like, they treated me like I was a robber. Because, yeah, the SWAT team and stuff, I guess that also is, like, the realm that I'm like, yeah, what, like, what caused them to treat her that way? You know, even when people go into, like, a 72-hour hold, which is what you can call for people who are a danger to themselves,
mm-hmm.
I would imagine that's what they would have had to have called for her. That I'm like, how is it so severe that they had the SWAT team come and take her out?
That was,
like, that is insane. Same.
That was when she locked herself in the bathroom with her son, though, huh? Maybe.
Yeah, but you don't, but, like, she didn't even have any guns or anything. Like, a SWAT team?
Yeah, it's excessive.
Yeah, like, that's crazy.
Yeah, they treated her like shit and, like, went to the extreme in most parts. So, like, now reflecting on it, I think that if I had to go through what she went through, I'd probably be in the same mental state as she is in now. Like, how could you not be? Like, how could like, also with possibly not even trusting reality, right? Like, your parent, your father, your parents, who you're supposed to trust the most, like, took complete advantage of her. So, like, she probably can't even decipher who to trust or who's for her or who's not. So, even now.
Mm-hmm. She did say that a lot, where she really believed that they wanted to kill her, which mm-hmm. sometimes I felt like, is that really true, or is she just like trying to play this up for the book? But after like perspective, I'm like, yeah, you literally don't know these people anymore, so I can see where she would question that, like, what, why are they doing this to me, you know, what is their purpose to do this? And, you know, so she mentions that a lot, like, I thought they wanted to kill me, I thought that was their purpose. So, to bring it back around, she does mention the parallel universe of her grandma Jean, because at one of her stays, they did take her off of Prozac and they put her on lithium, which haven't done a lot of research on that. But according to her, it alters your brain so much that sometimes you lose perspective of like time and who you are. And so I feel like that also messed her up. Mm-hmm. Like, it made her crazier.
Mm-hmm. I wrote down that when she was on lithium, she said she felt suicidal.
Yeah. So all in all, we're glad Brittany's free. I mean, I am glad I read the book. I will say it did give me a perspective about her mm-hmm. and even motherhood, because I don't want to be a mom, but I felt what she was saying mm-hmm. about being a mom and how it shaped her and ultimately sent her over the edge. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where she just couldn't take it. So, I mean, I really felt that connection had to have been huge. And at the end of the day, family's fucking shitty.
It really can be. Yeah.
Where is that quote? I can finally tell people that they're doing the quote wrong.
What quote?
You know where people say blood is thicker than water? Mm-hmm. What do you think that means?
That blood should.
I've never actually thought about the literal meaning. I guess I've just known what it meant, that you're supposed to put family first.
Mm-hmm. But you mm-hmm. need water to survive. Well, you no, also need...
that has nothing no, to I'm, do with
I'm
no.
thinking about what... No, listen to me.
Oh, why it's wrong?
Yeah, why it's wrong. Like, you need water to survive, but you also need your blood in your body. I don't know. I don't know. I'm trying to make meaning of it here.
Well, I think it's supposed to mean, right, that you're supposed to stick by your blood relatives for whatever reason over anything else.
Yeah, you guys are right. I mean, that's really what it is, you know, because even one of my family members would always say that blood is thicker than water. And so we always grew up knowing that, you know, like, okay, family over everything. But really what it meant was the blood of, I'm not good with remembering how quotes actually go. So I'm not like going to say this as like
poetic,
beautiful as I heard it. Yes, as poetic. But basically it's saying like the blood of your comrades is thicker than the water of the womb.
What?
So it's actually the opposite. Yes, it's saying like the people you've chose to shed blood with, which could be, you know, like whether that's, you know, it's like friends. Mm-hmm. It's like whatever you choose to go through life with, mm-hmm. like bloodshed together is actually thicker than the water of the womb, someone you're related to.
Where did you learn yeah. this from?
It was years ago. It was years ago. And I never.
Secret?
Yeah. Yes. Because.
This moment? For Brittany.
Yeah. 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 For real. Because I'm telling you, it was somebody really close to me that would always say blood is thicker than water. Mm-hmm. And so I never wanted to challenge it because that person always said it. And at this time, I don't talk to that family member. So now it resonates even more. Like, I wish I could tell this person, you've been using it wrong all along. But so now, I mean, that person doesn't listen to my podcast, but people who talk to that person definitely do. So, but I have always wanted to tell people, like, you're saying it wrong. Mm-hmm. And that more makes sense to me, to be honest. 110%. Like, I love my family, but sometimes they do some fucked up shit, mm-hmm. you know, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. you know, the people that you choose to do life with is so
powerful.
Like, it's so much. Yes, it's so much more powerful, yeah. because they have to work to stay in my life.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, now it seems like my family has to work to stay in my life. The boundaries I've put up for myself as a little Capricorn. But I'm saying, like, usually you're more forgiving of family. Like, oh yeah, that's just her. She's shitty. Or, you know, like, but she's my cousin. She's my sister. She's my mom. She's my dad, brother, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You make more excuses because, yeah, you're family. That's never going to go away. But with friends, it's like, shit, we've cut people off for stealing, for, you know, whatever. It's not something that you just mm-hmm. accept. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of like, no, like, I don't fuck with that. Mm-hmm. So we're done, you know? And so that's why I do feel like the people you really do choose to do life with, mm-hmm. that means something, because you don't have to necessarily do life with them. Like, it's a choice that you both are making.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I always love the question. I mean, I don't ever ask people this, but I have always loved the question. In one of my interviews for something, I don't remember what it was, they asked me, it was supposed to be a funny question, but I really did think about it. And they were like, if you had to bury a dead body, who would you call? And obviously I would never do that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I would never. mm-hmm. But it is true. Like, and when I thought of the people I would call, they were like my comrades. It was not family that I would trust with everything. Raquel was one of them, and I was like, fuck yeah, I would call Raquel.
I would help.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the other one was Ashley at the mm-hmm. time. And they would ride or die. Like, those are the people I would call if I was stuck in a situation. I would not call my family, unfortunately, for something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But it really did put into perspective, like, yeah, who would you call if you had to bury a body? Who would you? Yeah. Now I get to ask you guys. Who would you call if you had to bury a body?
I'm looking at him.
Wait, are you looking at us, or is Tony there?
No, I'm looking at you guys. I think I would definitely call you all. For sure. Like, no doubt about it. Yeah, for sure. I don't think that you all would judge me. Maybe ask a few questions.
Yeah, you would ask some questions.
No.
I for sure would fucking judge you.
What?
But
you would judge me?
But yeah, I would. I'm so judgy. But I would still help you. I would just be like, fuck, Sydney. Like, you couldn't, you know, poison or kill him with an ice pick or something, like, so you wouldn't get caught.
I wouldn't get caught.
Like,
I wouldn't get
you
caught.
You know, like, I don't know. You know, I've heard the best murder plot ever is to, like, take foil paper and put, if it snows, put it in the foil and then let it freeze. Take the foil off. Kill him with the ice,
and then it
melts and goes away, and there's no murder yep. weapon. That's number one thing you need to prove a murder is a murder weapon.
Yeah,
no murder weapon. Uh-huh. So, anyways, and then, but just to make it clear, if you guys are ever gonna call me for something like that, you need to call me from a fucking burner phone. Do not call me from your cell
phone. Where do I get a burner phone out to the gas station? Well, you want me to take my phone to the gas station to buy a burner phone? Then I'm really gonna get caught. You're dumb. See, no. You already made your first mistake.
No, you can take your cell. You're supposed to act as nothing happened as you go and get your burner phone. Just don't call me from your regular phone.
Wrong. I watched a lot of First 48. That is not what you're supposed to do at all. You're not supposed to even take your phone. You're not supposed to act like nothing's happened, because that's what they do. They go to the store and they get all their murder weapons and all this shit, pretending like they're gardening. And they get
that's
you on...
acting like something happened. Nope. That's mm-hmm. acting like something happened.
Well, see, okay. So this proves, so I was like thinking about it, and I know that you 2 would help me, but there would be too much chit chat, right? At first, we would need to do the chit chat afterwards. So my first person that I came into my head was Frances.
Yes.
She would do it. No questions asked. Whereas we would chit chat about it for way too long. And I think her and I have come up with like a code word that, like, if we say something like a sentence that's out of the norm, I forgot what I have to recap with her what our sentence was. But if we say like a casual everyday sentence to each other, we know that like something's up and you just have to like meet up. So we've like gone over it. We don't have a plan. So the three of us need to make a plan. Not that this is ever going to happen, but.
No, we should just be prepared. You're like, yeah, we should call it something cool, like plan something, you know, like we got to go to Project Bad Girl. You're like, Project Bad Girl? What? And we're like, remember, no questions asked. We have to enact Project Bad Girl. And we just got to fall in line. That's hilarious.
That's funny.
Well, Raquel, you didn't mention your two folks, Frances and who else?
Oh, am I supposed to have two?
Well, are you going to bury that body and lift it with just one person?
I'm strong.
Okay. I'm confident. I've been working out.
I don't know about a second person.
We chat too much, huh? Yeah. No, but going back to what you said, Jeanette, even being like a grown ass adult, if you can call me that, I think like celebrating my 30th birthday with like my closest friends, that like, and like my closest family, and not like fronting anything or like being in a space where I'm like, hi, like, how are you? You know, it was people who I don't need to catch up with, who I genuinely care about and whatnot. Like, I think that makes it just shows like you really can select who you're around, and like you share intimate things with those people, and you like sometimes tell like your closest friends things that you don't even tell your mom, or you don't even tell your like your blood sister and those things. But I'm pretty grateful, like I'm really grateful when it comes to the friends that I have, and I think that like not everybody has a good group of friends
and a good group of girlfriends, you yeah. know, like I think it's been a game changer to have like a solid group of girls that have your back, and yeah. there's not really mm-hmm. like competition or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And we just, mm-hmm. yeah, I think it's cool.
I always like to say, like, I feel like I have a great group of friends who are self-aware, and I want to say healthy, but it's not necessarily that, because we all have like our toxica traits. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to say like healthy, you know, like, because I mean, what is health? Mental health, you know, right. like mental health as well. But it's more like self-aware, like we know if we're going through it, we can call it out. Mm-hmm. You know, like that kind of stuff. Like we're self-aware people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard to find. It's hard, like we're growing up together, which is kind of crazy, and I've lost some friends along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Same.
But you know, this circle is smaller, but I feel like it's stronger. Mm-hmm. Like there's stuff that you guys know about me that no one in the world knows, and I don't know if I'll ever share some of that stuff with the world.
Mm-hmm. Same.
And that's kind of crazy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even my family doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that blood, that comrade blood.
The blood you choose.
Yeah.
Well, cheers to us, ladies.
Yeah.
And cheers to Brittany coming out of it, sharing her word, her peace, to start her healing journey.
Hopefully she finds some good peers too.
Yeah, she needs a good girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. She does.
We'll be your friend
for the ultimate comeback. Mm-hmm.
And that's the lowdown.
Did you want to say did you want to say let's take a sip to that?
That's what I was waiting for.
No, because she had to give up alcohol.